wish that was a little larger on the wall, but maybe you can see it. When we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we must remember what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus. Someone sent me that. If you don't like the message this morning, we'll blame it on three people that sent me quotes. And I felt they were all supposed to be involved in the message, and I don't even know how I'm going to tie them all together. Isn't that scary? I kept telling Pam, I said, a lot of times I got a real order to my message. Today I've got these three quotes and some things I put on my iPad, but I'm not really sure what I'm going to say. But I do believe I have what the Lord wants for the last Sunday of the year. I do feel confident about that. When we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we often say that here at CMO. I'm not bragging on us, so don't take this wrong. I think there's some powerful churches in our community. We're not R4 no more. We don't look at it that way. I wasn't raised that way. My roots weren't that way. My dad was very kingdom-minded. My dad was a traveling evangelist, and when someone called and asked him to preach, I never remember him, and he made a commitment to do this, and I never remember him asking what flavor church it was, or maybe I should say what denomination it was. He never asked. He said, I'll go where they call me and give them God's word to the best of my ability. So I was raised very kingdom-minded. We hate it, you know. We've kind of been a church where often we send people out, or often God will call them another direction. And, you know, you always feel kind of sad about that, but I'm always reminded, I think we're to plant a seed of what the gospel is, and often people need to take that with them. We're not saying that arrogantly. We don't think we have a corner on this. I believe there's some other powerful churches in the community, but I do believe there are a lot of churches where you won't really get the gospel as it is. I believe that we are blessed in that we are in touch with the time period we're in. We're in the season before the coming of the Lord. We're in the season before the tribulation hour. I personally believe that the harvest is largely past, and we're in the gleaning of the fields and the corners. The highways and hedges, the last call, is consistent through Scripture. The Great Supper, what's the last call? Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. After the harvest, go in and glean the corners of the field. Sometimes the corners of the field aren't as full, the crops aren't as luscious. You know, if you've hunted or you've been mushroom hunter, you've been out in the woods, you'll notice that in the corner where the tractor turns around, you know, the ground's harder there, and the beans are shorter, and the corn's a little shorter. It's still corn, and it's valuable, and God's no respecter. But I think even, don't misunderstand this, but I think even in these last days, Mary, I thought of you when I said this. I think in these last days, we need to realize that many people haven't had the advantage of all the fertilizer. They haven't been out in the center of the field and had the advantage of where the water got to it. But there was a ridge up on the edge, and they just kind of grew up on that ridge, and it was pretty dry, and that crop was pretty short. But my table will be full. My table will be full. And I believe that this church is in touch with that, that we're to glean the corners of the fields. And there's a lot to be said for understanding what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense? There's a lot to be said for understanding what you're supposed to do. I think there's a lot of people who are working hard at this, but they don't get it. I'm not saying that arrogantly, but they're working hard at it, but they don't get it. They don't realize on the end of the building, somebody stumbles into their church half hung over that's really seeking for help, and they don't want them in there. That's not getting it. Hello? That's not getting it. Jesus himself said, I've come for the brokenhearted to set the captives free and to bring deliverance to those that need it. Loved every ministry we've ever been. In March, there'll be 36 years full-time in the ministry. I've enjoyed everywhere we've been, but I love this one the most. I think maybe that's the way it should be. But I've probably said that at the time about every place I was at, because I liked every place I was. I liked every single place and loved the people there. But I think this one's my favorite. Now, I probably said Chapel Hill was my favorite, but that was then. I didn't have this yet. I love what God is doing among us. Today's a very practical message. It's last year, 2018. I gave a lot of thought to this. What I want to talk to you about today is letting go, and it's probably going to be quiet in here. Probably going to be real quiet. Letting go of the hurts of 2018. Letting go of the hurts of 2018, or before that, for that matter. When we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we must remember what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus. They got wounded. They got wounded. Wounded severely and torn, and they bled. Crucifixion was a very painful thing. They had thought this out to create misery. They did it on public display so everybody'd see it. Probably a crime stopper. Probably a crime stopper. You see that and hear somebody moan for hours before they die. That'd probably slow you down a little bit on our lifestyle, wouldn't it? Nails through the hands and through the feet. We're only talking about physical suffering here now, but as the diaphragm and chest get tired and shoulders get tired on the cross, what happens? You begin to sag, and what's that do? Put pressure on the hands and feet. So your feet on top of each other with a spike through it, and hands, as you would breathe and get tired, I can't push up anymore. You relax, and then when you relax, it tears your hands and feet some more. Not trying to be gruesome. And that was only the physical suffering. Jesus descended into hell and preached to the spirits in prison and came back with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. 2019's upon us. Letting go of the wounds of last year. Boy, I could preach a message on this next statement I'm going to make, but I won't, because that's not where I'm supposed to go today, but of course, we know that some of our wounds are our own making. Some of our wounds are our own making. You know, I had some horrible woundedness early as a Christian, and I've told you some about that. Went through a horrible time the first few years of my Christian life. But some of that, not all, but some of it was my own making and my own choices. There are, though, those wounds that are the result of following Jesus. There's just some wounds that go with following Jesus. And there'll be some times of difficulty. You know, something I think we need to understand, some of you. I was thinking about this. I don't think everybody understands this. And I don't know that I've ever explained it well. You know, the ends of my fingers here from playing an acoustic guitar are very calloused. In fact, I can hardly text with that hand because I got so much callous that I can't. When you peel a callus off, what? It's real tender under there. There's new skin under there. Something I think some of you don't understand. You live years in sin, you callus over. You callus over. You callus over. You become numb to things. You lose conscience. You lose feelings. What used to make you feel guilty doesn't make you feel guilty anymore. You callus over. When you come to Christ and He starts peeling off those layers, it's pretty tender. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. When you start peeling off that callus and those layers, it gets pretty tender pretty quick. And I think sometimes we don't realize that, and we haven't prepared young Christians well enough to know that you're going to have a new level of sensitivity. There's some things that are going to bother you that didn't bother you before because you got a new level of sensitivity. That's a good thing. You kind of got to adjust to that. Vince has given his testimony over and over. Many of you have. He's just numb to the world. We've numbed ourselves to everything around us, and a lot of you understand that fully. But when we come to Christ and He begins peeling those layers back, boy, it's pretty sensitive under there. I'm going somewhere with this. It's pretty sensitive under there, and as a new Christian, we can have a new sensitivity that we didn't have before, and things bother us that didn't bother us before, and we feel again, we feel life. Feels like I'm born again. Brian and Brandon sing. Feels like I'm moving, like I'm breathing. What's going on here? Feels like I'm vibrant again. I'm alive again. When you poke me, I feel it. You peel those calluses off the end of my finger from playing guitar, and oh my goodness, that'll be really, really sensitive for the first few days. So we do get hurt sometimes. And a trick of the enemy is that about a year and a half after you become a Christian to try to hurt you deeply in some way. Now, he wants to hurt you all along the way if he can. And hurts can come from a lot of sources. Some can be our own making. But I want to talk today about being the hands and feet of Christ, and that sometimes that is painful because there was nails put in the hands of Jesus Christ. And then also the reality of functioning, listen to me, the reality of functioning within the body of Christ. Hello? The reality of it. We get tender when we come to the Lord. I can look at some of you, and I can remember thinking about you when I first met you, and you seemed kind of hard-hearted, but boy, you're not now. You're not now. The layers are peeled off. That's sensitive. New skin's kind of red, you know, and new, and it's sensitive. But you know what goes with that? The enemy knows that too, so he tries to bring offense. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. And so he tries to bring offense from our fellow Christians, from others. Can you see it? It's simple. We made this thing way too complicated. That we're blind and we're calloused, and, you know, we cuss and scream and throw stuff, and we can do something that's horrible and go right to bed and go to sleep without our conscience bothering us, and we've numbed ourselves. But when we come to Christ and the tenderness of Jesus, that baby last week that I illustrated, and Marley helped me so well here, and that baby, that innocence and that purity and all that begins to call us, call our name, and we embrace that baby and we pull that baby to our heart, and there's a tenderness develops. But the dangerous side of that tenderness, oh, that tenderness has to be. It's a good thing, but the dangerous side of that tenderness is that we can become hurt very easy, and the enemy knows that. The enemy tries to hurt my feelings every 5 minutes. You don't believe that? I'm not sure it in 3 minutes. I think sometimes it's every minute. Vince and I have talked about this before. And I think this is especially timely with the type of group we have, because I do think we come in with maybe thicker calluses than other places. You know? The greatest compliment we ever got is when some of the judicial system said, "I can't believe some people go to church out there." I said, "I love it. I love it." They said, "I can't believe it. That person was really there at the church." I said, "Yes, I love it. The rest of them couldn't get them. We got them." Oh, I love it. But we do come in with calluses. We do come in with a lot of insensitivity. But boy, as that peels off, and now a song begins to speak to us, and we're kind of scared because they're singing Amazing Grace, and Allie Turley's up here singing like she does beautifully, a cappella Amazing Grace, and tears run down our face. And we haven't cried forever. Well, I haven't cried since I was 6 years old, someone said to me. Because the sensitivity's coming back. But the devil also knows that. And the trick of the enemy is to bring offense and to bring division and to bring problems. And I think every now and then it's just kind of good just to shed all that, you know? You know how that snake crawls out of the skin and just leaves that skin laying there, and you thought it was a snake, but it was a perfect shape. He gets a new skin, you know? And I think there's a time, and I felt this morning God just said to me, address leaving the hurts of 2018 behind and start with a clean slate. I want to read two passages. And I thought I had them up there, but I don't. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And then I'm going to read just a little bit from Hebrews 12. And then I'm going to talk a little more, go on with what I've already been talking. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. It hurts you. You know. If I go against you and I lie to you, and I, it says speak truth to your neighbor, we're members one of another. Be angry but sin not. Let the sun go down on the wrath. Let the sun not go down on your wrath. Some people think that it's wrong to be angry. No, that says be angry. Surprise you? Anger is an emotion. What you got to be careful of is rooted anger. Jesus was upset when he went into the temple and overthrew the tables and said, "You will not make this place a house of merchandise. It's going to be a house of prayer. You're not doing this in here. You told a lie at the Robin's house when you were a little boy, and believe me, I know about that. And I'm telling you, Virginia got a hold of you. You'd know what wrath is." She had a zeal for righteousness. It was incredible. I think I told you years ago, some of you haven't heard about the time she was working with a young woman who had got caught up in an adulterous affair. And mom had a burden for this woman, and mom was laying awake at night praying for this woman. If I told you the name of this woman, some of you wouldn't recognize the name. It's nobody in our church, but somebody in our community. Elderly now. Mom heard that at 2:30 in the morning, they were at a local restaurant, and she was with this other man. And my mom drove over there and went in there and went right up the table and took a hold of her and said, young lady, you're not doing this to your family. And took a hold of her. That wasn't controlling selfishness. That was passion with godly anger, saying, you're not doing this. But you know what? That woman broke down, and that guy hightailed it out of there. He was scared to death, that little German lady. He hightailed it out of there, and she took that woman back to her husband, and they prayed together that night. And to this day, that woman thanks the Lord for the night Virginia Robbins came to the restaurant and took her out. And you don't know who she is, and you don't see these receipts. But that woman currently supports the Haiti ministry. Still. Those seeds are still producing. She doesn't go to church here. There is an anger that's of God. So we live in a generation of, oh boy, just don't get upset about anything. There's things we need to be passionate about. But be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Couples, don't go to bed mad. Don't let it take root. There's something about anger staying with you. Let it go. Let it go. We're talking about wounds and hurts. Now, we'll talk a little about the wounds that are happened by being a Christian because we're the hands and feet of Christ, and some are our own making. But often, when that callus is peeled off, as I described a few moments ago, and I think that's a good description, and that new skin comes in, we're sensitive, we're tender, we're easily hurt. The enemy knows that. Pam will say sometimes to me, she'll say, have you watched that one new believer that we have, that they were just so vibrant and something seems to be changed? I said, yeah, they're entering the season where the vice is being tightened on, where the devil's beginning to put into pressure on, where the devil's trying to take their joy and where the devil is trying to put the squeeze on. We're talking about, stay focused, we're talking about letting go of this year's hurts. Be ye angry and sin not, Ephesians 4:25. Let not the sun go down your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, if you let it take root, you're giving place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. That's awesome to see that. He said, you that used to steal? Me, for I was a Christian. I was a thief. I used to rather work it with your hands and help others. We see that happen all around us in the church. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now notice, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, that rooted anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Then I'm going to read from Hebrews 12. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look here. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, that's a powerful verse. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, stay with me. We come to Christ, we're calloused, we're hardened, we're hard-hearted. He begins peeling away at those layers. We come to the altar, we learn to cry, we learn to show some emotion, we're even surprised at ourselves. What's happening is that the calluses are being peeled away, but what's under that callus is a very special thing, new, red, sensitive skin. And that is the time period when the enemy wants to in every way inflict a wound of some kind. Now, beware lest a root of bitterness. Oh, have you ever seen this happen with yourself? Oh, you get upset about something. We don't release it. We don't give it to the comforter. We'll say more about that later. We don't put it into the hands of Jesus. We don't bring it to the altar and lay it before him and say, this foreman at work is impossible, and I cannot stand this guy. I just want to beat him to a pulp every time I see him, and I know this isn't right, and I'm a Christian. Instead of laying that there, we maul on that, and we think on that, and the devil teases us with that, and we're hurt deeper. And then be careful, it says, beware lest a root of bitterness. It's interesting that in these two passages, if you want to compare them in your devotions this week, we read from Ephesians 4 and Hebrews 12. It's interesting that in Hebrews 4 it says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit can't occupy the same vessel that's bitter. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit can't occupy the same vessel that's bitter. It isn't that he's, oh, I'm kicking you out. You made a mistake. You've got some bitterness now. I don't love you anymore. No, he loved us, died for us. He reaches for us. But we separate ourselves when we choose to entertain bitterness. Have I ever seen bitterness form in my own life? Absolutely. Numerous times when there's been painful things, and often it happens even within the body of Christ. We're new and tender as a Christian, and someone hurts us, and it's unintentional. Often, occasionally, you'll have someone that isn't where they should be spiritually, and they intentionally put a dagger to you. Okay, but more often than not, it's unintentional. The person is unaware. Powerful verse. Be careful lest you fall from grace. Look diligently lest you fall from grace, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's interesting. A root. We all know what a root is. You dig around a tree, and you see the roots going out every direction. Those of you who know a little bit about trees and forestry know that the roots usually go out as far as the limbs. Amazing, a root system. He said, be careful lest a root of bitterness and it defile many, because that's exactly what happens. When we become bitter, let the sun go down on our wrath, we sleep on this thing, and we stay with it, and we mull over it, and we let the devil feed it, it isn't long until it's going every direction. It isn't long until it's affecting everyone around us. Oh, forbid that we have a bitter, angry father that spends years raising children and harbors bitterness, or a bitter, angry mother, or worse than any of that, a bitter, angry pastor. I've had times when I was struggling with something, and I've gone to the Lord on my prayer walks, and I've said, Lord, I got to either work through this, or I got to take some time off or something. I can't preach out of this. I can't preach out of this. I'm just susceptible to it as you are, if not more so in some ways because of my position. The Bible says, out of the heart come all the issues of life. Tom the neighbor, Tom the friend, Tom the pastor, Tom the father, Tom the grandfather. That's all coming out of what? The heart. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. Beware lest a root of bitterness come, because if the heart gets bitter, then everything's working out of that. Everything becomes tainted. I'll not ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have seen somebody that got bitter over something they went through and it affected everything in their life? I tried to help a man a number of years ago, doesn't attend church here. Older man, full of bitterness. Oh my goodness. I kept saying, Lord, what's going on with this guy? What is going on with this guy? Oh, you could just tap it. I mean, this guy had a 10-pound powder keg on his shoulder, and you couldn't help but bump it. You know. Anybody ever worked with somebody like that? One day, I was prying, trying to talk with him, trying to help him, trying to find a little bit about his background, and I found the source of it. It was his father. I'm telling you what, that guy's whole demeanor changed. I asked him some questions about his dad, innocently. Innocently. I just asked some questions. I walked into it. I'm telling you what, his jaw tightened, his teeth clenched, and I'll not say what he said. We don't know if we'll even use abbreviations, but. He said, yeah, that's a whole nother story, that blankety blank. And I saw his jaw just come out like that, and I thought, that's what we've been dealing with all this time. Something fueling that. We let a root of bitterness come in and affect. That guy would beat the daylights out of his animals. Oh, he would. I mean, just the little slightest thing go wrong. And I want to say something there. a lot of you young Christians, don't beat yourself up. This is a process. It takes time, and God's very patient. And there's times, if you've had a temper, there's times that as you're working through that, you're going to fly off the handle, and you're going to, but don't let the sun go down on it. Settle it right then. I can remember, I carried this so far, Greg. I carried this so far that at Kroger's, I would tell my employees, and I was the boss, so that helped. I'd tell the employees, the produce department, I would say, I'll be back in a minute. And I'd go back and close the cooler. The Bible says go into a secret closet. Boy, don't get any better than that, only it's 38 in there. But I'd go in the cooler and close the door. And there was no lights in there, and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face in that cooler with the lights off. I mean, you put your hand right here, and you couldn't see it. It was that dark. And I'd go in that cooler, and I'd say, Lord, I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't want this. This isn't who I want to be. Take this away. It's that simple. Don't sit on it. Don't brew on it. That old coffee just keeps a brewing and smoking and steaming up through that coffee grounds, and it just keeps it up, and then it drips some more, and then it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and we like it that way. But this ain't in coffee. This is bitterness. And I'm telling you, if you let it simmer, we're all susceptible to this. I'll confess to you in a minute. Pam can tell you. She'd say, you're having trouble working through this. And I'll say, yes, I can't preach if I don't get past this. I can't get up there and be digging down into my heart to pull things out, and I'm bitter. I can't. I can't do it. We're all susceptible to this. But we got to let it go. We got to let it go. And I'm going to tell you something. You know the truth. The truth will set you free. I'm going to tell you, 13 years ago in St. Vincent's Hospital, when they said I wasn't going to live the night, or they didn't think I would, it was wonderful to have no phone calls to make. You say, oh, you must have been perfect. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. There's a million things I'd do different if I could live my life over. We're made out of mistakes. We're made out of the stuff we walk in. But I knew that night when they said you may not live the night, I thought, is there anybody I need to tell anything? No, not really. No ought. No ill. Oh, does that mean everybody liked me? No, afraid not. I've always been kind of cutting edge in ministry and always done new things, and I've made some enemies along the way, and I don't mean that sarcastically, but I understand that. I understand that. Perception's everything. I get that. I get it. I'm okay with it. I get it. I recently visited the homes of some folks that I knew had some bad feelings with me, and I went and talked to them, and I said, I understand your perception. I really do. I said that, and the one lady started crying. She said, thank you. I said, I get your perception. I understand how it looked to you, but I need to tell you what God said to me and why I made this decision. What would you have done? And she said, well, I don't really blame you. And I said, good, and we hugged each other. You know, can I plead with you? I don't want to overdo this, but when you come to God and that callus is peeled off, it's pretty tender, and the enemy is out to bring offense. To bring offense. I'm at the point where I even avoid situations where offense can occur. Seriously. I believe that's wisdom. I somebody could say, well, you just need to get over it. Well, hello, I can't. Just get over it. Oh, that's the answer. Well, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm too doggone weak to get over it. So if your hand caused you to stumble, what did Jesus tell us to do? If your hand caused you to offend, cut it off. So I'll have times I'll remove myself from situations. My wife will say to me, don't feel good about going there. I'll say, you know what? I just can't really deal with that. I've worked through it. I got no bad feelings, but I just can't deal with it. That's okay. That's okay. Being a Christian isn't being as strong as a bull. It's having the wisdom to recognize your weaknesses and deal with them. People say, well, I should be over this temptation by now. Well, just stay away from it. Maybe you can't get over it like as quick as somebody else. So just get out of there and get away from it. There's victory for you. There's victory for you. Let it go. If you were to see me on the road over there by your river where I walk and pray when the weather's fit, I'm too wimpy to walk in the winter. I used to walk unless it was in single digits, but can't do that anymore. Freeze to death. But I love to walk. And if you see me walk by the river, you would have seen me do this at times because I actually do it with my hands. I'll begin praying about something or a situation where there was offense and Mr. Oversensitive got hurt. That's my name, Mr. Oversensitive. And I'll say, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. It's okay. And I'll say, we'll pick on Vince. I love to pick on Vince. He stands back here, so he's an easy target. I'll say, Lord, I forgive Vince. I forgive Vince. He wrecked my bike, but I forgive him. No, I'll say, I forgive Vince. Vince didn't mean to hurt my feelings on that. Probably most of it was me anyway, but Lord, it did hurt my feelings. God's not going to fall off the throne if you're honest with him. Just be honest with him. I'm pitiful when I pray. I'm pitiful. Lord, forgive me. I get older, I'm getting more sensitive. That's scary. That's really scary. Having a little fun with this. But bottom line, there are churches, listen to me, there are churches packed with people that have file cabinets full of offenses in their heart. Yeah. Let me say that again. There are churches packed with people that have file cabinets full of offenses in their heart that they will not work through, and they got no joy. They got no passion. They got no vibrance. They're always critical of everybody. And it's contagious. Yeah. I said it'd be quiet in here. It is uncomfortable. But the Holy Spirit makes you uncomfortable. Daddy used to tell about the Afro-American guy that had come out of slavery, literally. This was 100 years ago. Daddy used to tell the story about it. He had read it. And he was trying to describe conviction. And he said, there's like this wheel in here, and it's got little blades on it. And when God speaks to you, it starts turning. And he said, it just hurts. And you know, oh, I got to do something about that. I got to do something. Conviction. Ooh, Lord, ouch. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Beware lest a root of bitterness come in. It will defile us. I believe, tell me if you agree with this, I believe that most falls by Christians, where they fall from the grace of God and fall back, I believe the fall of most Christians begins with bitterness. Pastor in Chicago that I was, a young pastor that I was fortunate to be able to help, and cried out in the midst of a bad situation and got into moral trouble. You don't know him. We got into moral trouble. He said to me, when I met with him, confidentially, he called me, he said, I'm in trouble. I need to talk to you. So I went to Chicago. This has been years ago. It's when we were Skinner Chapel. And I went to Chicago, and I met with him. And he said, Tom, I committed adultery, but it wasn't adultery that started it. It wasn't lust that started it. He said, I got bitter at my wife. Trouble developed between us, and I got bitter at my wife. Well, hey, the devil, he's a clever rascal. He got 6,000 years experience studying us and watching us, and he's a schemer. And we get bitter. What happens is we separate ourselves from the precious partner, the Holy Spirit. We separate ourselves. God still loves us. He's still gracious and ready to forgive us, but we separate ourselves. Well, then when the devil sees that we're separate from the grace of God, then he brings back all the old temptations. The guy that had been the alcoholic, if bitterness starts in his heart, what's he do? Compromises in that area, because that was his weakness. The person whose lust was their weakness, pretty soon they're compromising in that. And I believe that most sins often begin with bitterness. And some of you have testified to that in your own personal testimonies, that you became bitter over something and angry and it defiled you. Well, then the Holy Spirit and you, he loves you, he adores you. He's that baby that we talked about last week that wants to embrace you, but a fountain can't give off sweet and bitter water, and you can't have a vessel full of bitterness and the Holy Spirit stay there. Did you notice Ephesians 4 said the Holy Spirit's easily grieved? And then Hebrews 12 says, beware lest the root of bitterness. Now, let's be a practical message. Don't mix up. Some of you got a puzzled look on your face. Don't you hate that I had that eye surgery and I can see so good? before I couldn't see. Some of you have a puzzled look on your face. The devil's good at tricking you in this area. This is real important. This will help you a lot if you get this. Because I'm so sensitive, I had to get this worked out. The memory of a pain may still bring pain, but that doesn't mean you're bitter. There's this false idea out there that, well, if I've totally forgiven, I'm just happy-go-lucky about it. You know. Devastating thing happened in my life and nearly destroyed me, but oh well. No, when you think of it, it hurts you. If some of you went through a painful divorce, when you think of that, there's some hurt. That doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. Pain's part of life. The sins of the world were put on Jesus, and it was in the form of nails through his hands and feet. And the sins of our past pierce us sometimes, and they're still hurt. So don't let the trickster, the clever trickster, the liar, we rebuke him in Jesus' name. Don't let the liar sell you that bill of goods. Well, that shouldn't bother you. You haven't forgiven them. He tries that on me all the time. Here's the test. Put yourself in a situation of that person having need. I'll do this to the devil. I'll say, don't try to sell me that. Oh, you have bad feelings for that person. No, I don't. I actually have had people where there had been bad feelings, and I forgave. And I would actually pray, give me an opportunity to show kindness to him. I shared that with you a few weeks ago about a man that I met on the highway. That tells you there's no bad feelings. Now, if you drive by here and it's 9 below 0 and you see that person's hood up and you say, I hope he freezes to death, you're in trouble. you're in trouble. But I think, I'm not majoring on minors here. I think this is a problem, especially with young Christians. It still hurts. The divorce is fresh. The pain is fresh. It still hurts. We want to handle this so carefully with tender gloves. Lord, give me tender gloves with this. Or horrible childhood abuse. Honey, if that don't hurt your heart when you think about it, there's something wrong with you. That's going to hurt. That memory of that's going to hurt. That doesn't mean you didn't forgive. I've had people come up after a message as sweet as can be with tears running down their face, and they said, I had horrible abuse as a child, and I think maybe I'm bitter. Well, I could tell by their body language they weren't bitter. You know, they because there's pain connected with things that damage us and hurt us. So let's not confuse that. But there's a difference between a root of bitterness, and I hope they... That lump they have on their shoulder, I hope that's malignant. Be rid of them, you know. Oh, boy. And that's an extreme example. It can be in much smaller ways. But do beware of a root of bitterness. Letting go. Letting go. I have written down here, what have you done with your hurts of this year? To what or to whom have you gone for comfort? Let's see here. I better watch my time and figure out what to skip. What have you done with your hurts? To what or to whom have you gone for comfort? Letting go of, leaving the hurts and the substitute comforts of 2018, because we let bitterness come in, and then we seek comfort from things other than the Holy Spirit that we mentioned early in the service. Does that make sense? We haven't got the Spirit because we've run him off with our bitter, angry heart, and then we seek other comforts. Isaiah 43 says, I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing. I love that passage. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. This last Sunday of the year. Behold, I'll do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a great verse. And then verse 25, man, this will break you. Even I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Oh, man, it don't get any better than that. I believe I want that policy. What do you think? I believe it. Sign me up. 18 and 19 and 25 of Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 18, 19, and 25. Read it again. Remember ye not the former things. Last Sunday of the year. Come on. Let's lay our hurts on the altar. You know what would be good inventory instead of preparing for a New Year's party? And nothing wrong with getting together on New Year's. But you know what would be a good thing? I'd like to challenge you. The Bible says, let a man examine himself in Corinthians. This is the 30th. Tomorrow's the 31st. The next 48 hours, begin doing an inventory of what are the hurts of this year and what are the things in the years before and what are the things that I got baggage on. Lord, I want to, let's unload this thing. Don't remember the former things and the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. And it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? And I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Even I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. What have you done with your hurts? Family hurts. Those are difficult. Those are difficult. Family hurts. Misunderstanding is painful. Psychologists say that the three forms of mental anguish, there's lots of emotional suffering we could give names to, but the three forms of mental anguish are loneliness, rejection, and misunderstanding. To be lonely or to be rejected, I know some of you have dealt with rejection throughout your life and even started that way. I know Mark has shared his testimony and started out feeling rejected as a child. The imprint on the heart that is. Misunderstanding. Oh, that's painful. In the ministry, you can have that awful because you go and seek God and you go to the mountain and you try to get clear signals and you may not always get it right. And there may be a percentage of error. You're in the flesh. And then there's misunderstanding. And sometimes you try to fix it and it gets worse. You know, this is reality. Feeling betrayed. I went through a time period in my life for about a year and a half where it seemed like I just had a series of betrayals. And won't go into that, but just had a period of my life where just had a series of betrayals. Some people very close to me, just a series of betrayals. That's hard stuff, personal suffering. Disappointed. Disappointment's painful. But then I have, in with an asterisk to emphasize, when we're hurt maybe by a fellow Christian. Let's talk about that for a minute. This will make it quiet, but it's all right. Quietness is a good thing. Hurt by a fellow Christian. You know, we got to learn to love each other in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now, sometimes there's misunderstanding or there's hurt or pain and you can't fix it. Sometimes you can't fix it. You want to fix it, but you can't fix it. So we got to accept that. You might have something in your family that you wish you could fix. You can't fix it, you know? But I think that oftentimes in the body of Christ, there is this peeling back when we first come to Christ and then the new tender skin forms, but then the enemy tries to come in. And you know, a lot of times we unintentionally hurt each other. Would you agree with that? I've probably hurt some of you. I'm not aware of it, or I wouldn't make a statement like I don't have any phone calls to make. I might have hurt some of you. I'm unaware of it. But hello, we're in the flesh. Did you know that this is 6,000 years of flesh here? We got to learn to love each other in the spirit, not in the flesh. You know how I talk about my mom like she should be in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and she should be. And the tremendous Christian she was, but I'm telling you what, she could be aggravating. She could be aggravating. Her maiden name is Beaverforden, and she's all German. And I'll tell you what, that lady would not give in. And all of it, but I was talking to Miriam the other day, and we was both laughing. We don't even think about that. She's gone to be with the Lord, and what we remember is all the wonderful things about her. But when she was alive, there was times we'd just get so disgusted with her because Mom just wouldn't budge. Things. We got to learn to love each other in the flesh. Now, sometimes you can't fix it. Sometimes you can't fix it. What I've chosen to do as a pastor, you may have figured this out watching me. What I've chosen to do as a pastor is I've chosen to do everything I could to repair an offense. But as the apostle said to the Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than man. I'm not going to compromise something God gave me to keep somebody happy. You with me? That's not a cocky statement, nor is that arrogant. That's not at all. But I'm not going to compromise something I know God said to my own heart. And I've tested it, and I searched the spirits to see if they were God, and I prayed over it. I made some decisions a few years ago to upset a lot of people. But I prayed a year about that. I took a year off and prayed about that. And when I came to it, and I know not everybody understood it, and I understand the other perception. I understand that. But we ought to obey God rather than man. I can do everything I can. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably. So yes, if you need to go to several houses, I've done it and talked to people. Some received it, some didn't. But I did everything. If I stood before God, I did everything I know to do. But I'm not going to abort what God gave me to do because somebody doesn't like it. Hello? What would I be? You need to vote me out. Let it go. It's okay. Do that all the time. I'll bet you 10, 15 times a week I say, let it go, son. And once in a while I even go, hey, you listening? That's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't hit you, I hit myself. Let it go. Miriam used to say, I'm leading this little girl around named Miriam. There's adult Miriam, there's this little girl I'm leading around, and man, she's hard to control sometimes. Sometimes I just have to sit on her. I feel that way about myself sometimes. There's little Tommy Robbins here. Sometimes I got to say, straighten up, boy. But you know, that's very scriptural. The Bible says, bring our thoughts into subjection to Jesus Christ. Bring things into captivity to Jesus. What's the hurts of 2018? Behold, I want to do a new thing. I want to make some rivers in your desert. I want to see something. This is the first hour of the rest of your life. Do some assessing today and tomorrow. Instead of planning a party, do some assessing of today and tomorrow. And Lord, what do I need to do? And what do I need to lay down? And what do I need to let go? Maybe you need to have a conversation or two. I don't know. What are you doing with the hurts? I got a couple more quotes and I'm quitting. Somebody sent me this. I don't even know if I can tie these together, but I felt like I was supposed to show these quotes. When God gives you a new beginning, don't repeat the same mistake. Simple, but that's good, isn't it? When God gives you a new beginning, don't repeat the same mistakes. Behold, I do a new thing. I want to do something new in your life. I want to do something fresh. Now, this person said I can't say who they are. I want to, because somebody made us something. But the person asked me not to tell, so I'm not going to. But somebody in our congregation made this for Pam and I, and it looks so pretty in our new sunroom. I just love it. We got it where we sit and study and pray. We got this on the wall. They made this. You know what that's made out of? Look how that's bowed out from the wall. That's made out of a whiskey barrel. Ain't that cool? There's a message in this. When this person, I wish I could say who it was. When this person gave us this, the minute I saw it, they said, I made it out of a whiskey barrel. I said, this is all about CMO right here. God can turn your whiskey barrel into a cross that's got so much love oozing out of it. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, chose to give his life for our sins. He can turn your whiskey barrel into a cross that the rest of your life, you will start laying stuff before it. Now, I'm not picking on whiskey or barrels. I don't know what your whiskey barrel is or what your problem is in the past. We all got our whiskey barrels, you know. We all got something, you know. Sometimes we act so pious and sweet. I've never done this. I've never done that. But I've been around you, and your attitude is as bad as anything I ever saw. So, you know, I think we're real good at categorizing things. So we're not hobby horsing on that kind of stuff. But I think there's something to be said for making the cross out of a whiskey barrel. Now, this person also told me something else that I tested, and they're right. They said because this had whiskey in it for so many years, this is so hard you wouldn't believe it. Of course, it started out oak. Anyway, but so hard, said can't put a nail in it. I tried to drill a hole in this, Kenny. I could hardly get the drill to go through. I sat on that drill. My drill went dead trying to drill that. We can become hardened. We take those substitute comforts and fill our barrel. We're going to get hard as nails. Jesus wants to take your whiskey barrel, and he wants to make a cross out of it, and he wants to spend the rest of your life with the love of Jesus coming out of that to you, and the forgiveness that you need from day to day. Yeah, it's hard. You know I believe in victorious Christian living, but I think we need forgiveness every day. I haven't had a day yet. Anybody else? I haven't had a day yet at the end of the day I didn't like, Lord. I wish I'd have handled that different. Why didn't I keep my mouth shut? You know, anybody been there? But he's full of mercy and grace. What hurt do you need to put on the cross? And I don't want that barrel full of anything. I don't want this hardness anymore. I want to be cut down to size. I want to be squared up here. I want the Lord, my God, the greatest commandment, hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So I want this relationship. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, this relationship. I want to love my neighbors myself as myself. And then Jesus put the cap on that. And he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So I need to love you like Jesus loves me. This relationship, it's time to take our whiskey barrels, whatever that is in your life. I don't know what it is. And that's not my job to run around, stand on your porch and dictate that. And I'm not interested in it. I've had people come by and tell you all my sins. I said, I'm sorry, honey, I'm not the priest. And he's the high priest. And you don't need to tell me all that. I'm not making fun or slamming anybody. I'm just saying I'm not the priest. You don't need to tell me all that. If you need to talk to somebody, you can talk to me. But I'm going to tell you, you can get things straight. And that hard old wood that you cannot get a nail to go in, you can hardly get it to drill. God will take it, cut it down to size, get it the right way, get it proportional, put his robe across it because, you know, and put his cloth, his garment on you, and you can have a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You with me? You have a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and God working in a new way. Behold, I want to do a new thing. All right, I'm almost done. Somebody sent me this too. I don't know how I'll tie this one in either, but we need to have this. The one thing we're most, oh, this is good. The one thing we are most reluctant to give up is the one thing that has the most potential to become a substitute for him. Soak in that for a little bit. That's good stuff. What's that thing that we're most reluctant to give up? Now, you can have stuff. Don't let the devil run off with that. You need to have stuff in your life that's valuable to you. I have relationships that are very valuable to me. Now, they can't get ahead of God. But there's relationships I have with you. They're very valuable to me. Very valuable. And they minister to you. But he wants to be our first love. He wants to be the passion of our heart. The one thing we're most reluctant to give up is the one thing that has the most potential to become a substitute for him. Boy, letting go of the hurts of 2018. This is the last. Surrender your wounds. Seek the Comforter. In 2019, do a new thing. Abide with me. Boy, don't Brandon and Brian Alley do a nice job on that song. Abide with me. I have a home, eternal home. But now I walk this broken world. You know, hey, it isn't easy. It's a broken world. You walked it first. You know our pain. But you show hope can rise up from the grave. A new beginning. I do a new thing. Abide with me. Abide with me. All right, now listen. We can just wave our arms in the air, and I like to, so don't take that wrong. We can just wave our arms in the air and have tears run, use 10 boxes of Kleenexes when they sing Abide With Me. But the sweet Holy Spirit can't live in a vessel that's bitter. You with me? And we can wave our hands in the air and we can go on and on about it, but the sweet Holy Spirit cannot live in a vessel that's bitter. And I'm going to tell you something, and you write this in blood, this is the truth. I know it's the truth. God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit when I'm talking the truth. You get bitter, don't underestimate what you'll do. I've had times I could not believe the viciousness that came from a vessel that used to contain the Holy Spirit. You don't know what you'll do apart from God. We're desperate without Him. Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall and don't let go. Walk with me and never leave, ever close. God, abide with me. Surrendering our wounds. I don't know what yours are. Seek the comforter. Oh, we want to get our comfort from the right things. Do a new thing. Read these two verses and I'll close. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ooh, that's good. Take a picture of that if you want to. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. Why am I ending with that? Because everybody wants their prayers heard. And how does that happen? You can't pray and beseech the Lord out of a bitter heart. Nursing our wounds. I used to say, are you licking your wounds or are you healing your wounds? Are you licking your wounds or are you healing your wounds? I say that with sensitivity. But it's abiding in Him, John chapter 15. And then you ask what you will. Answered prayer comes. 2019 can be different. He who says he abides in me ought himself also to walk as Jesus did. Boy, that's a powerful verse. That verse convicts me to the ground. When I read that, I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm a long ways from walking just like you did. We're working at it. We're gaining on it. We're gaining on it. I believe that I have more of Christ likeness than I did 10 years ago and a lot more than I did 20 years ago and a lot more than I did 30 years ago. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. All right. That's what God gave me for this morning. Let's stand together.